What is going on? Welcome back to Not a Podcast. Today, I wanted to discuss the compounding interest of getting your shit together. Now, what exactly do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is changing one thing affects other things. In plain, simple language, that's exactly what I mean. If you change one thing, that is going to have an impact on other things. So, as always, I would like to use a personal example to sort of illustrate this point. So let's go back to high school for me. Now, throughout my adolescence, I was a very insecure individual. Not only were my social skills not refined, not only did I not have a real good group of friends, I really only had one, maybe two or three friends throughout middle and high school, both of which were older than me. So once they graduated, I was kind of shit out of luck. I was on my own. And I was also like physically insecure. I've always kind of held on to more body fat than I've always wanted to, no matter what I did. You know, even throughout years and years of basketball and I was an active kid. I moved around a lot. I played with my friends. Played sports. I did all the things, but you know, I wasn't an athlete. Despite trying to be one, I was a husky, pudgy kid. Now, going into high school, 2011 was my first year of high school. So we're looking at what, 13 years ago? It's weird for me to say that. I'm sure a lot of older people listening to this are like, oh, you're just a baby. But for me, like 13 years ago since high school, that feels like it was yesterday. But anyway, going into high school, you know, again, didn't really have a great group of friends. I had one or two guys that I knew that I grew up with. But aside from that, not many people. And I was a basketball player. That was the only sport that I played throughout high school. I did other things in middle school. I did track and field and basketball for the last year of middle school. But aside from that, I played baseball when I was like a kid, like little league. And that was it. That was it. Other than that, it was video games and Guitar Hero and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Not in high school, but as a kid. Anyway, so going into high school, especially that year of basketball, I really didn't have much going for me socially. I didn't have much going for me athletically. And it created a real significant insecurity with me. You know, I wasn't necessarily bullied per se, but I did feel outcasted, and you know, that affected me in a lot of ways. You know, I didn't really feel like I had a place in the school. I was social with a lot of different people, but I didn't really have a core group of people like how others did. You know, all the quote unquote popular people, or all the quote unquote like Magic the Gathering people, or you know, people had their place. People had their group of friends that they hung out with. And I didn't really have that. I wasn't antisocial. I wasn't a complete outcast. I wasn't a loner. I had, again, a couple really good friends, like my friend Kyle, my friend Cameron, my friend Brandon. But they were all in different grades. And I didn't have anybody. So one of the ways that I had hoped to gain a sort of group of friends was through the sport of basketball. But as is with hierarchies, especially teenage hierarchies, you have to earn your place within that hierarchy. And the way you do that is through skill, like being good at basketball. The best player is going to be the star of the show. And then the person that rides the bench is going to be the butt of every single joke. And throughout the first 2 years of high school, I played on the JV team, and I was at the bottom of the totem pole both years. I was at the end of the bench. I was the kid that you threw in when either we were up a lot or we were down a lot. That was my time to play. And when I did play, it was lackluster. It was turnovers. It was mistakes. It was air balls. It was missed shots. I wasn't good. Despite me wanting to be good and desperately wanting to be good, I didn't understand how to become good. I hadn't learned that skill yet. You know, getting good at things is a skill within it, in and of itself. Being able to develop a new skill is a skill. And I didn't have that at the time. I just thought that it was politics. You know, I thought that coach didn't like me. I thought that the guys didn't like me, and I wasn't, it was a popularity contest, and that's why I didn't play. No, Matt, it was because you suck. You were just bad. You were, my first 2 years of high school, I was like 5'6", 5'7" maybe on a tall day. And I weighed 170 pounds, 180 pounds. Like I was chunky. I wasn't short and stocky like a football player. I wasn't tall and lanky like a basketball player. I was like in the middle. I was just a husky little kid. Now, you can imagine that the impact that that has on a young man, especially during those formative high school, teenage, adolescent years, when you're trying to figure out how to navigate the world, you're trying to figure out, who am I? Well, who I was the butt of every joke. Who I was, you know, a loser. Then junior year came around. Junior year rolled around, and I decided that I wanted to leave. And it wasn't because of my social status. It wasn't because of any particular reason. I was dating a girl at the time who, I was a sophomore, she was a senior, and then she graduated and then went to Boston University. And that was influenced my decision. I just wanted a fresh start. I liked the idea of going and living with my family that lived in Massachusetts, because I liked them. You know, I liked spending a lot of time with my aunt. I ended up living with her after high school. I'll explain, but I ended up going back to Vermont. So I left Vermont my junior year of high school. I went to live with my grandparents the summer of my junior year. Summer of my sophomore year. I don't know. It was after my sophomore year, before my junior year. That summer I left, and my parents signed me off. My grandparents were now my guardians. And I went and lived with them, and I was going to go to high school there, the same high school that my parents went to, the same high school that my aunts and uncles went to, the same high school that my grandparents went to. So it felt in some ways more like home than actual home did. And so I gave that a go. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well at all, because when I got there, starting at a new place your junior year of high school is not a great idea. At least freshman year, everyone's coming from all these different schools and they're congregating in this new place, and everyone's kind of new to a certain degree. Yes, there's people that know each other, but if you're a new kid going in freshman year, then it's not that big of a deal. But junior year, all the friend groups are established. Everybody knows who everybody is, and you stick out as the new kid. You stick out like the sore thumb. You are the redheaded stepchild of whatever class you're in. And that's who I was. It was very apparent very quickly. And how I knew it was very apparent very quickly was because the first week that I got to that school, I forget which day it was exactly. Might have been the first day. I don't know. But what I do know is that I walked into the lunchroom and I didn't know where to sit. I didn't know where to sit at all. So I took my backpack and I saw a group of guys that looked nice enough. I didn't know who anyone was. So I just figured, you know, I'll sit with these guys. And so there might have been three or four seats open, and then the rest was filled with, it was like one of those circular tables with a bunch of seats at it, like you see in high school lunchrooms. I put my bag down on one of the seats, and then I went to go get my lunch. There might have been five or six, seven guys at that table. Again, few seats open. I get my lunch. I come back. Everyone's gone. I just see my backpack sitting there by itself. I thought maybe they went to get lunch, you know, and they'll come back. Nope. Nobody came back. It was just me. Now, I don't know if that was personal, like we don't want to sit with the new kid, or if it's like this kid's taking our seat and we have too many seats, or we just want to go sit over here. I don't know what it was, but it didn't feel good at all. And so that sort of persisted, and I felt more and more outcasted, and even more so than I felt in my original school, because at least I had 1, 2, 3, 4 friends that I could really call my friends. Whereas here, there was nobody. I was truly a loner, and I hated it. I hated it. And maybe a month later, I went back. I went back to Vermont. But during that time, when you're living at Nana's house, when you're at your grandparents' house, there's no boundaries anymore, right? Because your grandparents are your grandparents, and they treat you like how grandparents treat grandkids, not how parents treat kids. So in terms of like my diet, it was Frosted Flakes every morning. It was unlimited granola bars. It was unlimited trail mix. These were the things that I consumed. Big, nice dinners, baked mac and cheese, like all the stuff. Of course, I didn't have any friends. So during the summer, I'd play basketball a lot. No friends, no basketball, no movement. Very quickly gained 30 pounds. And when I got back, it was very noticeable to other people because I was getting the rumblings. I was getting the word around town. Hey, Matt got fat. Matt gained a bunch of weight. And where I really knew it was when October, November rolled around and we started doing preseason basketball. And my coach was like, hey, Matt, you're out of shape. And now I didn't know anything about fitness. I didn't know how to track my macros. I didn't know how to lift weights. I didn't know anything. And that's a very important point to this entire podcast. I didn't know anything about fitness. Nothing. Not a lick of fitness. I know a lot now. Knew nothing back then. So one of the habits that I started during that period of time was drinking Gatorade as my primary source of liquid. My primary source of hydration was Gatorade. And not just any Gatorade. 3 32-ounce bottles of Tropical Cooler Gatorade. It's the best flavor, by the way. Tropical Cooler. It's full of garbage, but it's worth trying once. So 3 32-ounce bottles of Gatorade every single day. I don't know the calorie number off the top of my head. I should have got it before this podcast, but I'll put it on the screen. I imagine it's around 300 calories, 350 calories for a 32-ounce bottle of Gatorade. Now I was having three of those a day. So we're looking at 900 to over 1,000 calories just in Gatorade alone. Never mind the baked mac and cheese and the granola bars and all the bullshit. So I thought to myself, okay, well, I need to lose weight because I want to play basketball. I want to be good at basketball. And of course, I wasn't working on my basketball skills over the summer because I was alone. And I usually did that with my friends. I didn't really know where to play basketball. I didn't, you know. And so I thought to myself, okay, I'll just stop drinking Gatorade. So I switched from Gatorade to iced tea. Now, iced tea, not much better, right? But at least they're 16-ounce bottles. Maybe 150 calories for a bottle of iced tea versus 300 calories. But even that has a compounding interest effect. Even that has a death by 1,000 cuts effect, but it's like better by 1,000 cuts, right? Because you're chipping off 150 to 200 calories per bottle. Now you stack that up over days, you stack that up over weeks, you stack that up over months. It makes a little bit of an impact. I wasn't fully red-pilled on just drinking water yet. Couldn't stand water. But eventually, I went from iced tea to Propel, which is, if you don't know, it's like flavored water. Now we're in the zero-calorie range, right? Now we're not drinking calories anymore. And the weight started to come off. The weight slowly started to come off. And that had an impact, right? Now, I did end up riding the bench my junior year of basketball because I was still fat. Like I was still completely out of shape, but I was less out of shape than I was before. And I was riding the bench for the varsity team this year, not the JV team like I was last year. I was on the varsity team on the bench. So it's a step up. But things continued to improve. I started to learn a little bit more about fitness. I started to dive into, you know, fitness YouTubers. I learned who Elliot Hulse was. I learned about lifting weights. I learned about calories in, calories out. I started to pick up these things and implement them. And that had an impact. And I started losing more weight and losing more weight. And then by the time my senior year rolled around, I got voted co-captain of the basketball team for that year. I started every single game. I scored more points than I had ever scored. I scored more points in a single game than I had scored my entire career as a bench warmer. And it had a massive impact. Not because, as I stated before, my freshman year, in those hierarchies, you have to earn your spot. You have to earn your place in the totem pole, both on the court and off the court, both athletically and socially. And I had earned my spot. I showed up to every single summer workout, oftentimes being the only one that showed up. I showed up early. I stayed after. I didn't miss a single one. And if I did, it was for a damn good reason, because I was committed. And of course, that transformation in my basketball skill, that transformation on the court, led to an off-court transformation, because I lost 57 pounds between my junior and senior year. I lost 57 pounds. I was 214 pounds in the summer of my junior year, or the fall of my junior year. And by the time my basketball season had ended, my senior year, I was 157 pounds. Ton of weight off. That alone is worth an Instagram post. But that changed the clothes that I wore. That changed how people saw me. It changed my level of physical attractiveness to other to women, girls at the time. My skills on the court earned me the respect of my teammates. Now I had a circle of friends. And of course, I wouldn't be friends with anybody that only liked me because of my basketball skills, but that line of communication wasn't really that there. Like, the opportunity to build a connection with those guys wasn't there until I was actually on the court with them, actually suffering with them, actually winning with them, actually losing with them. Once I was in the mix on the court, I was in the mix off the court. And not only that, but I learned a ton of lessons throughout that process. I learned that if you don't get what you want, i.e. you don't get to play on the court, it might not be because of politics. It might not be because the coach doesn't like you. It's because you suck. So if you're not getting what you want, if you're not getting the result you think you want, it's not because the world hates you. It's because you suck and you got to get better. I learned the value of discipline. I learned the value of showing up every day, even if everybody else doesn't. I learned the value of being relentless, being absolutely relentless. There are so many lessons that I learned, including the compounding interest of getting your shit together, from that experience. Now, there are two points I want to illustrate from that story. The first being, and I put a pin in it earlier because I wanted you to really note that point. I lost 57 pounds. I was 10% body fat by the end of my sophomore year. I didn't have much muscle on me. I was a skinny kid. I didn't really know how to do compound lifts and truly lift weights like I know how to now, but I knew how to track my food. I knew how to control my calories. You know, I didn't really know everything about protein at that point, but I knew more than I did then. And I was in very good shape. But when I started the journey, I knew nothing. When I started that process of losing 57 pounds, I knew absolutely nothing about fitness. What I did know was that I am drinking 3 32-ounce bottles of full sugar Gatorade every single day and I probably shouldn't be. Let's start there. That's a good place to start. So I want to highlight that point because there are so many people that think they have to know everything before they start. They have to have all the answers and have all the knowledge and listen to all the podcasts and read all the books before they even start. Bullshit. Go back to the last podcast where I talked about telling yourself the truth. The truth is, you know enough to get started. You're doing something that is your version of the 3 32-ounce bottles of Gatorade every single day. Make that one adjustment. Do it now. Stop drinking Gatorade. Go for a walk every day. If you're trying to start a business or something, start a YouTube channel, make a piece of content. Make a product. Put a design on a shirt and make a sample. Just make something. Do something. You know enough to do something. And that something will start the snowball that inevitably leads to you being competent with the thing that you're trying to do. You're not going to get competency from a book. You're not going to get competency from a podcast. You get competency from repeatedly doing the work. Even if you know nothing to start, you know enough to start. The second point I want to illustrate is how my one change, not drinking 3 32-ounce bottles of Gatorade, affected things that had absolutely nothing to do with basketball. Basketball was the reason I started, but it affected things that had nothing to do with it. The work ethic I have now, the mindset that I have now, a lot of the lessons that I talk about on this podcast were learned only because I stopped drinking 3 32-ounce bottles of Gatorade in the summer of 2013. So let me use an adult illustration of this point. Let's say that you are overweight, you're broke, you are in a poor relationship, you know, maybe you have kids, you know. Let's say you're that person. What if the one change that you make is just skip breakfast, right? Just skip breakfast. And of course, I'm talking about intermittent fasting. Let's say you start intermittent fasting. It can be anything. It can be going for a 30-minute walk every day. It doesn't matter what it is. Make the one adjustment that you need to make, right? You might not know how to make more money right now. You might not know how to improve your relationship right now. But you do know that you can do something about your weight. So let's start there. Now, let's follow the same sort of snowball that I went down. You start your intermittent fasting. You start your 30-minute walk a day. And then you're like, maybe I should do some resistance training. Then you start using bands, right? Then you start using weights. And then you start thinking, man, I'm doing all this work, but I'm not seeing the result. I gotta change my diet. Then you start eating more protein. Then you start cutting out all the garbage. And then 6 months later, you're in shape. Now, because you're in shape, your wife's going to be more attracted to you. She's going to look at you differently. She's going to respect you because you went from being a giant blob of shit to a transformed version of yourself physically. Now, because you're in shape, you're going to go to work and you're going to have more energy at work. The things that used to piss you off might not piss you off anymore. You might walk around with a smile that you didn't have before. You might be able to work an extra hour or two because you have the energy to now. Now you're bringing home more money. How's that going to affect your relationship? Not only is your wife looking at you better, not only is your wife respecting you more, but now you're being a better provider. If you have kids, now that you're in shape, how's that going to impact your relationship with your kids? You can run around and play with them. You can chase them up the stairs. You can play the games they're playing. How's that going to impact their development? How's that going to impact their relationship with you over the long term time horizon, that one little change that you're waiting to make, whether it's cutting out Gatorade, whether it's going for that 30-minute walk, whatever it is, that tiny little change that you are sitting around for some reason waiting to make, that you're reading all the podcasts or the reading all the books about, listening to all the podcasts about, that's the change that if you make it right now, it could transform your entire life. And that is the compound interest of getting your shit together.